Blog Talk Radio.
AS, this is AST Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of AST Presents. This is your host, Arden Sports Talk here. I know it's been a little while since we spoke, but I'm back. Just been busy working, trying to create this new content as usual. But I'm very happy to be back because today's interview is a very special one. It's one that I'm very proud to have with you guys, especially with this guest who should be on the line at any moment now. This is a guy whose work I've definitely enjoyed over the years. And one of his most recent books, to me, is the best book that I've ever seen when it comes to this particular subject or person that I'm going to reveal when I see this when I see my guest on the air. But it's going to be a very good interview. Plus, it's going to be a little different, you know, with our previous AST Presents guest or even with AST Radio. We've spoke about, I shouldn't say spoke, but we've talked to a lot of media members. Or we've talked to fans, coaches, and trainers. And even though that's great, he's going to be our next guest, the first author that I've ever interviewed on any AST-related show. So that's going to be great. And like I told you before, this is an interview that I'm very proud to have because, again, this guy, one of his most recent books, I've been a very big fan of. I've loved the book. I've read it multiple times. And when it comes to this person that's going to be on our show and the person that he wrote about, to me, I thought it was the best book that I've ever read about him. But before we really start this interview, because, you know, our guest, he's going to be on the air at any moment now, just a couple of announcements. Please make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KingArden23. I have a new video up there detailing my experience attending the 2K Classic and the Legends Classic, which was pretty fun. I was able to see the defending champions Duke play. I was able to see, you know, freshman phenomenon Ben Simmons play. So I made a nice little video about that. Of course, I'm covering the Westchester Knicks, the NBA D-Leagues. Westchester Knicks, the team is 6-1. I've been covering those games. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk because, as you already know, I'm going to be there covering the games as much as possible. So definitely do that. And, of course, there's the Snatchback Podcast, like I always do. Try to do it every week. Me and Nick Bond, I really appreciate those that's been listening to the show. I really, really do. You guys have been awesome with that. The numbers are looking good. So, yeah, man, I definitely can't complain. But so I'm just working. I'm just working, doing the best that I can when it comes to this work. And, you know, I just hope that you guys enjoy it. I really, really do. So, yeah, like I told you before, we're just waiting for our guest to be on the air with us right now. And we're going to have a great interview, as you already know. So, yeah, that's just that, you know, AST Presents. It's definitely going to be a good one. It's definitely going to be a good one. I know it's been a little while since I've gone on air, but I'm here now. So we're just waiting, for our guest. All right, guys, our guest, he is on the air, live with us. This guest right here for AST Presents, this man is responsible for writing for what I believe, in my honest opinion, to be the best Michael Jordan biography ever. This man is also responsible for writing several really good biographies on other sports legendary teams, such as writing books on Magic Johnson, Johnny Unitas, Tom Brady. He's even written books on the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers during their peak. And this is a guy that, once again, as a sports author, I really enjoy his work, and I'm really honored to have him on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this interview with Roland Lansby. How's everything going, man?
It's good. That's quite a buildup.
Hey, man, I had to. I'm really excited. I was really excited when you responded to my tweet. So this has been definitely some time coming. How's everything?
It's real good. Just busy time writing my next book. So deadlines are ferocious. That's why they call them deadlines, because you just hope you don't die getting it done.
Absolutely. I hear that. I definitely can't wait for that next book. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Roland Lansby. He's the author of Michael Jordan, The Life, which came out in 2014. Got a lot of great reviews. So just to really get into this interview, you know, before we discuss the book and everything about it, you know, as somebody that is, you know, an author and you write a lot about sports and you get really in depth with it, you know, what was your earliest memories around sports?
Gosh, you know, my old man was one of these old two-handed set shooters out of the West Virginia hills back in the 1930s. And so, you know, basketball was always big in our household. I had a brother that was 10 years older that was an exceptional athlete, you know, four-sport kind of guy, blazing speed. And so, you know, just a constant flood of memories. I was raised up in the hills of Virginia. So it was, and back in the days, I'm 63, so when I was a kid coming along, you know, you got two, maybe three channels on TV, nothing like today.
Yep.
You know? So it was a very different age, but there was a quarterback at the high school near where I was a kid, and this guy played like Johnny Unitas. He was a guy named Frank Beamer. He went on to become he played at Virginia Tech and then became the head coach there. But and football was my thing. I played a little bit of college football. You know, it was more the athletes you saw locally live than it was watching stuff on TV. And then it was, of course, your own stuff, playing games, the whole array of things. After that, you know, I later became a coach. I was a young varsity coach. And so from there it was working with teams, and then I became a sports writer. And I still continued to coach AAU and youth stuff on the side. I had a lot of fun as a young teacher coach. I was an eighth grade football coach in Petersburg, Virginia, and I had a linebacker on the eighth grade team named Ricky Hunley. I coached. It was a big inner city middle school or junior high, and ninth grade had all the starters. And I coached the eighth grade defense, and Ricky Hunley was a skinny kid then. You know, he went on to have a great NFL career, but, you know, it was exciting to see a player like that at that age. Nobody knew what he would be. But, you know, it was I've had a lot of fun with a lot of sports over the years. I played rugby, coached wrestling, all that kind of stuff.
Nice, and I'm intrigued by that because, you know, you definitely shared and you explained your experience not only playing sports but coaching sports because, you know, I'm in the same point of my life too. You know, I'm somebody that not only plays sports but I'm more into the coaching side of things now, private training, and of course talking about sports on air and writing it. So this is a two-part question that I have for you basically, which is, you know, how were you able to make that transition from being a player and coach to being a writer? And does your playing and coaching experience, you know, help you when it comes to writing articles or writing books? Because you're somebody who, unlike some in the industry, you really have that experience of being in between those white lines and preparing for games and things like that and being around players?
Oh, I think it's been a huge help. You know, I was never a writer for a school newspaper or any of that stuff. I doubt if I ever made a better than a C in high school English. I was never an outstanding student. Writing is about voice, and you really do have to work hard to learn all the fundamentals. But like a lot of things, I had, even though I didn't make great grades, I had really good English teachers in school. And,
that's right.
You know, I read a lot of books. And as you read stories, you know, you learn to develop your own thing. And it's like sports in that it's a function of your drive. You know, I think the biggest thing is sort of doing what you're doing is interviewing people. I learned, you know, I didn't learn so well in a classroom, but, man, if you gave me the chance to talk to people, I could acquire a lot of information that way. And so I've
spent
my life once I became, you know, I was a 23-year-old varsity high school wrestling coach. And I had we had the school's first ever district championship wrestling team, and I had some real good wrestlers. We had I was at a good high school, Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech is. And so I started writing articles for the local paper about the wrestling team because wrestling doesn't get covered. Basically, I was doing articles about my wrestlers because I wanted them to get some pub. That's how you can end up with a scholarship, you know, a little bit of pub. And I had fiddled around with writing some like everybody does, and I really just got the bug. And I after that championship season, the local weekly paper, I was doing some, just at a weekly, I was doing some stringing or freelance writing for them, and the sports editor quit. It was a minimum wage job, but I gave up my teaching and coaching to go to work for like $2.70 an hour. I already had my first child by then. I got married at 22, and so it was really tight financially, and it's not easy to develop because it's hard to generate the pay you need to live. But if you hustle, you can find your way. There are a lot more opportunities today than there were then with all the blogs, and that's really, if I were doing it today, I would really be a big time blogger, Blog Talk Radio. All of these experiences are the things that help you.
And the next thing I really wanted to ask you is, just coming from that, you know, what was it that really led you to go from writing articles to necessarily taking the next step to writing books, and especially books about athletes and teams? Because that is a really big step. I mean, a lot of people, not necessarily saying everybody, but a lot of people can write articles. You know, a lot of people can write short, you know, forms of writing and express their pain. But you're taking that next step. Sorry, not you're taking, but you took that next step of writing books, especially about, you know, other athletes and teams. What was it about that that necessarily, you know, said, you know what, I want to do this?
Well, I got hired by a bigger newspaper, and I had to write regular features, not sports. And so I did that, and I really found I liked, you know, I liked people, so I liked writing features about people. And then I got hired by a bigger paper that served the region where I lived, and I really got interested in longer form journalism. I was covering crime and public safety and a lot of I was a night police reporter, and I was doing lots of really difficult stories. I was writing about a lot of street people. There were a lot of VA veterans, you know, at the VA hospital who were out of the Vietnam War, and they were living in the streets. They were struggling with. We really didn't understand back then a lot about PTSD, but it was just the process of doing all this stuff. Then I got a scholarship that a writing program at Hollins University, where I live, and they had an excellent writing program. So while I worked at the newspaper paid half and the university paid half. I got a degree in longer form writing and got to work with some good writers. And, you know, so much of it's storytelling voice. And in doing interviews, you know, you sort of listen to lots of people telling their stories. And it's not just your own voice, but it's being able to incorporate all the storytelling. And, you know, athletes are a lot of times natural storytellers. We don't see that a lot in the media today because athletes are very guarded in what they say. But when they're hanging around the locker room or, talking in outside of the media, a lot of them are just really good storytellers. And, you know, as you get older, a lot of what I did is start writing sports history. And the old timers are the ones that they're no longer in the spotlight, but they can tell a lot of stories. And so by virtue of talking to these older guys. As I went along, I got better and better at learning how to do the business side of writing, to sell publishers on letting me do small projects. I was lucky to come along at a time when there were more small publishers. Blogging helps with that today, but I guess my main advice to anybody writing sports is, yeah, it's hard to interview the people who are in the spotlight right now. But mm-hmm. If you track down older athletes, and it's still what I do today, they all have stories to tell. And,
great stories.
You know, yeah, and sports is a very human thing. It's the gift of the century. They call the 20th century the sports century. It's, we've had a long history, a long human history of cultural conflict over religion and over ethnicity and race and class. Class has always been a big thing in America. But the one place where that all came together for me and for just about everybody else is sports. You can have somebody you don't agree with at all politically, or for you don't understand them at all, and yet you can both be a fan of something, or you can be playing pickup basketball, and you can relate at a level that, it's just all you need, and you can make all kinds of connections. And, the generations before World War II didn't have a lot of leisure time. They didn't have a lot of sports. The country was very racist, so everything was very limited. You know, the people who wanted to be racist, they were smart in that. They knew if we all got together in sports, that things would begin to change. And so once the racists couldn't control sports, then people had a chance to start relating and understanding each other. And that was really important for everybody. That was really, really important. That journey is not finished by any means. That journey's got a long way to roll. But it's underway.
Absolutely. And I have a couple of more questions for you, like two to three more questions. And this is really getting to now the heart of the interview, which is, again, like I've, told the audience, as the show went on the air and I was telling folks on Twitter, which is, I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. I know everybody says that. But, for me, honestly, that's the truth. I've been a huge Michael Jordan fan since the age of four. And my life has basically been, I guess, defined by the fact that I've read a ton of Michael Jordan books, especially biographies and documentaries. Michael Jordan to the Max is my favorite documentary. And I've read these books, I've taken them in. And, and when I honestly say that your book, Michael Jordan, The Life, to me, in my opinion, it's the best biography about Michael. I really feel that way. And I want you just to, touch on the process that it took writing this book and connecting with the people that helped you in this book, along with the fact that, of course, having those discussions with the man himself. Because to me, before I give you, the floor to answer this question, sorry if this question is too long, it was just your book really went down another route that most of these sports biographies, really don't go down, which is a lot of these biographies is really about the athlete in terms of them as an athlete, and you see maybe a little glimpse of them as a person. You really broke down both sides of Michael Jordan, not only as the person, but as the athlete, and even just what you did in terms of breaking down his ancestry is, to me, was an excellent job done. So now, finally, sorry for the long question, what was the process like of writing Michael Jordan to life?
Well, usually you think long questions are problematic, but I think you got a lot of context covered in that question, and that makes it a good question. I will tell you that I was I was 13 in the eighth grade when the schools integrated in Virginia. And I lived in a small town, but the races were still largely divided. And it was my good fortune when schools integrated that I made lifelong friends. And, you know, so part of my interest in sports, I guess, you know, my Jordan book is dedicated to a couple of those friends who are deceased, but they were really important in my life. And I came to consider them mentors as I looked back on it. So I wanted to dedicate the book to them because, you know, you make good friends like that. You want to try to understand the world a little better. And so I felt one of the things was that, you know, before integration, we had all these wonderful people, generations of them, that never got any opportunity. They never got any credit. They never were allowed any standing. There are a zillion reasons for that, but even before that, you know, it wasn't always easy to work those stories into sports stories. But when ESPN Books hired me to write a biography of Jerry West, well, that was in my wheelhouse because my old man was one of these. I mean, he and his brothers were basketball players back in the 30s and 40s, and I wanted to tell the story of the hillbillies coming out of West Virginia playing basketball, man. And I wanted and all the coal miners and, you know, those people in the southern Appalachians, they were they had a hard life, and I wanted to tell that really hard personal story about Jerry West that had never been told. And doing the Jerry West book gave me the opportunity to do the Michael Jordan book in that way. And I wanted to go in, it was my chance to tip my hat to the generations that came before. And they were really important in the Jordan story. And, you know, then I realized his great-grandfather was this guy named Dawson Jordan, who was born in 1891, and he lived a long life. He died when Michael was 14. And Michael idolized Dawson Jordan, his great-grandfather. And Dawson Jordan was 5'5" and crippled. And he came through all the harsh racism. He was a tough, tough man. And he was a moonshiner. And but he was also a heroic figure. And part of what I wanted to do was, and he was heroic in the everyday way that he had to deal with things that we don't understand. And the whole thing that's often overlooked about the world we have today is that it was all set up in so many ways by sharecropping, which was this terrible economic system that just robbed everybody. And we don't understand our big cities today. Sharecropping, from the time that the Civil War ended, in sharecropping became the way everybody had to live. There weren't any other jobs, and it was subsistence farming on land you didn't own. And millions of people were living in poverty. It was all they had. And then the Great Depression came along, and farm prices collapsed, sharecropping collapsed, and we had the great exodus of millions and millions of African Americans into the cities of the North. They were looking for jobs and some way to live. It was, you know, it was never covered by the media. Today we see the exodus over from Syria and the Middle East into Europe, all the millions of people who are you know, they're running from violence. Well, a lot of the African Americans out of the South were running from violence too. I mean, it was a dangerous world, and people were crazy with the violence they were bringing down on this racial minority. And I wanted to explain all of that. Now, I'm writing a book about Michael Jordan, but the story of his people became articulated in who he was. And yes, he was the guy to stack up those championship trophies, and he was this fierce competitor, and he had so many talents besides jumping. He was a great listener, you know, I mean, world-class listener.
Oh, yeah.
And his mother was an extraordinary person. But I wanted to look in his background because I knew that this didn't just happen in 1963 when he was born. There were people I knew in 1863 and 1763 in his background. You can't always find them. But I knew there were people who were doing extraordinary things. It's just nobody was paying attention. But the extraordinary things that they were doing were becoming the things that would allow him to do what he would do. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of acclaim for this book, and it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with me. Nobody would pay any attention to me. What they're paying attention to is Michael Jordan, that cultural hero. And so all I had to do was reach back and study all this information that was there, but I wanted to honor the past the way I tried to do with the Jerry West book. And there was an important story there. I believe that story could be told in many, many other ways. When Bill Russell did his book, Second Wind, he was able to reach back into his roots in Louisiana. And we're coming into a new age of storytelling. But I think it also has to do with people reaching back into the past, into their own past, and interviewing older people while they're still alive, and connecting the past to the very powerful present we have. And, you know, Michael, by virtue, as he told me once, timing is everything, but he came along at a time when it was thought that, you know, to be an African American in marketing, you really couldn't be connected too much to the black past.
Yeah.
You know, it was not something you could talk about. It wasn't cool. And I thought, well, the process of all that marketing disconnected Michael from that important heritage. It is a heritage that when you stop and look at it, it's a tremendous story. The strength of America in so many ways is the strength of the African-American character and the push for freedom. And, you know, I'm Caucasian, but I draw strength from that just as everyone in this culture does. We just don't stop to prize and recognize it. So in my small way, I wanted to connect Michael Jordan back to who his people were, because they were forced to live obscure lives, but that only meant they had all the greater character for being able to endure what they endured. And I thought that Michael Jordan, that's why I ended the book with all of his family there in the arena in Charlotte, because I wanted to tell the Jordan story as a black power story. And I feel that so many stories you can't always connect in a heavy way to the past. In doing the Kobe Bryant book I'm doing, I'm connecting it to the past, not in the same way, but in a more recent way, but it's still heavily rooted in family. Because, you know, every family has their traits and characteristics. It just, you know, you get some from your mother, you get some from your father, and I found that these great competitors like a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant or a Jerry West, they draw so much from their mothers. And the mother, for some reason, these guys, as Tex Winter, the coach who worked with Michael the longest and later worked with Kobe at the Lakers, as he was telling me once, I was fortunate to become good friends with him. He said, you know, they're all perfectionists. They're all these fierce dudes who have to have everything just right, and they're pushing everybody. Everybody around them. It's not just pushing their teammates. They're pushing the coaches. They're pushing the management. They have high expectations, high standards. And so the other thing I was trying to do, you know, we always make sports jock talk. You know, it's all about what some guy's doing here, what some guy's doing there. But of the story, so much of the reality of life is about these strong women. Now, women have faced horrific subjugation in so many ways, but they are strong figures.
Absolutely.
It's really just connecting to things that are important, that are human, that are important to all of us. We all prize family. We all prize the fight against the struggle. And let's face it, we're inspired by sports because we're inspired by those same things in family. And, it's not complicated in that sense. It's instinctual. You know, we all sense that. And the best writing really tries to look for the human angle.
That's right. Rylan Lansby, thank you so much for this interview. Just the things that you have said and explained, and even just that last piece about really what made this book come together, I think is something that not only myself, but the audience really could appreciate. This was as in-depth of an interview that I've ever done. And like I told you before, you know, when I asked you the question, it's what you did with this book and what you explained is really true, and it really came to life, and I think that you did a very good job with that. I'm really looking forward to your Kobe Bryant book, and I honestly believe those are the best pieces that sports or even just life in general has to present, which is when you present a story about somebody, whether it's yourself or somebody else or about a city or a part of the world or the world, I think to be as in-depth as possible and to connect the dots, I think it's something that's very, very good to do. And I think that you did a very good job with it. And I definitely can't read your Kobe Bryant book. But ladies and gentlemen, that was Rylan Lansby.
Well, I want to thank you, Ard, for asking the question that brought that answer out of me. I really enjoyed the conversation, and you have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure to follow Rylan Lansby on Twitter at Lansby, LazenBy. Well, other than that is today's episode of AST Presents. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Most importantly, I hope that you learned something, because I certainly did. I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.